This is Bob Carroll, creator of the Skeptic's Dictionary and the blog Unnatural Acts That Can Improve Your Thinking. Welcome to another episode of Unnatural Virtue. Today's topic is mind over matter. Have you ever wondered about the origin of the idea that you can cure just about any disease you might be plagued with, have just about anything you desire, or even move pencils or cause lightning to strike just by thinking about it? The idea seems so blatantly false and contradicted on an almost daily basis in almost everyone's life that it makes you wonder whether there's something wrong with the human brain that such an idea could have a stronghold on us. It's one thing to say that suggestion and priming ourselves or others with words or images can influence future thoughts and actions, but we seem to leave the realm of sensibility when we extend this notion to claim that we can actually alter reality just by thinking about it. The idea is at least as old as the New Testament. In the Gospel according to Mark, 10:24 for those who are counting, there is a passage that says something like, "Whatever you desire, pray and believe that you will receive them and you will have them." This idea, or one very much like it, influenced a number of people in the 19th century in what was called the mind cure or new thought movement. Today, this idea of the power of positive thinking, of the mind to control and alter reality, has hundreds of New Age gurus fighting for the minds of followers seeking the secret of success. Healers from Barbara Brennan to Marianne Williamson owe a great debt to Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, who died in 1866 and was known as the father of New Thought. Quimby was a New England clockmaker and a follower of the methods of Anton Mesmer. Quimby came to believe that their healing ability was not due to animal magnetism, as Mesmer thought, but to Abraham's God, and that they'd accidentally stumbled upon the healing technique of Jesus and other faith healers. They probably had, but Quimby didn't think the healing had anything to do with the power of suggestion, the optimism of the healer, the strong motivation of the sick to be rid of their various ailments, many of them psychological, the faith of the patient in the cure and the healer, or the rituals and theater of the healing. Quimby called his healing practice by many names, including Christian Science, which was appropriated by one of his patients, Mary Baker Eddy. After Quimby's death, one of Eddy's students, Emma Curtis Hopkins, organized New Thought and turned it into a national movement. Religion, healing, and imagined contact with occult forces give people a sense of purpose and control in an indifferent and cruel world. In the 19th century, religion, healing, and the occult were three of the few avenues to power and control that were open to women. So it is perhaps no accident that many of the early proponents of New Thought and Mind Cure were women. Others who spread the ideas of New Thought were Myrtle Page Fillmore, Annie Ricks Militz, Melinda Elliott Kramer, and Nona L. Brooks. The dominating idea of all forms of New Thought is that thoughts or beliefs have an effect on things and people around us, independently of our doing anything. Thinking creates reality. Happiness and health are the direct result of our beliefs and thoughts. We have the power to change our beliefs and thus our state in life at will. If we are sick, it is because we are not thinking correctly. If misfortune befalls us, it is because we are not thinking correctly. Health is due to correct thought. The truth will set you free, and the truth is that you need only faith to be healthy, rich, saved, whatever. Also central to many forms of New Thought is the idea that a God or spirit or energy or universal life force, something mysterious and powerful, permeates everything, or is everything, or everything is in it. Thinking correctly involves being one with, in harmony with, aligned with, or attuned to this universal whatever. The American physician, psychologist, philosopher, and dabbler in the paranormal, William James, called New Thought a deliberately optimistic scheme of life. James traced the origin of New Thought to the Gospels, New England Transcendentalism, the idealism of Bishop George Berkeley, and Spiritism. James thought that the New Thought or Mind Cure movement, with its emphasis on hope, was a reaction to the religious evangelism that emphasized fear. These two great motivators, hope and fear, seem to play a major role in the history of people trying to persuade others to follow them. We see it not only in religion, but in politics as well. In addition to promoting delusions about the ability of people to cure others and themselves of horrible diseases by the power of thought, The New Thought movement encourages delusions in other areas of life. Outside of the healing arena, New Thought beliefs contribute to what might be called the empowerment delusion. The false belief that feeling empowered or believing you are empowered is the same as being empowered. The empowerment delusion leads people to believe that they can create health or wealth or anything material by willing it or asking a god to will it. A corollary is the delusion that poverty or sickness is their own fault. Their bad thoughts, stinking thinking, negative ideas, or lack of faith cause all misery. The empowerment delusion is fed by appeals to the law of attraction, quantum physics, or to faith in faith. The billion-dollar self-help industry is largely driven by the empowerment delusion. I'm sorry to say that there's not even any evidence for the related idea that having a positive attitude and being upbeat is good for your health. A study of nearly 60,000 people in Finland and Sweden, who were followed for almost 30 years, found no significant association between personality traits and the likelihood of developing or surviving cancer. The scientists concluded that, quote, cancer doesn't care if we're good or bad, virtuous or vicious, compassionate or inconsiderate. Neither does heart disease or AIDS or any other illness or injury. End quote. I'm sorry if that bit of news makes bad people feel good and good people feel bad, but that's the way it is. Well, that's it for this episode of Unnatural Virtue. To find out more about the topics mentioned here, see the show notes, my website, The Skeptic's Dictionary, and my blog, Unnatural Acts That Can Improve Your Thinking. In the meantime, please commit some unnatural acts in public. And don't forget, skepticism, though unnatural, is a virtue.